Welcome to Travel Market Life, your companion for industry insights and professional business development. Travel Market Life. Join us by webcast, video or podcast.
Hello and welcome to Travel Market Life. I'm your host, Ryan Haynes, and today's episode, we're going to be looking at hotel design, the evolution of hospitality environments, and the role of technology. We're joined by Todd Lundgren, the principal at CRTKL, a global architecture planning and design practice that over seven decades has evolved into a cultural agency advancing positive outcomes for communities. Todd builds on three decades of experience. His widespread hotel experience in Asia, Europe, the Middle East, Latin America, and North America covers a full spectrum of commercial development. With so many changes over the last few years, I wanted to find out a little bit more about what's in store for hotel design.
Travel Market Life.
So Todd, thank you very much for joining us. What types of projects are being undertaken and what can we expect to see around the world over the next few years?
Well, thank you, Ryan. It's been a pleasure having the opportunity to talk with you today. What we're certainly seeing right now is that there's a significant number of renovation projects. That's the predominant aspect right now. Way more than new build. New build developments take a lot of time to go through the entitlement and planning process, and a renovation and repositioning can be completed much faster and start generating those returns that clients are demanding sooner. So while there's renovations of existing hotels, there's also a lot of conversion opportunities. The evolution of working has created a huge surplus of empty office space or potentially empty office space. And a lot of Class B and C office buildings are never going to be able to be used as office projects again. So we're seeing a huge opportunity in this area of hybrid hospitality, of service apartments, extended stay, even senior living and co-living that all can fit really nicely into an office building conversion. At the same time, you know, there's still some new development. There's emerging markets where new travel demands, new tourism opportunities, there's always going to be some new development. But I think in the near term, renovations and conversions are going to be really the core area.
And I suppose that difference is between geographies as well, as you say, like the Middle East. I guess there's huge amount of investment going in into new builds. And as you say, there's less space necessarily in Europe and sort of converting what you've already had. There's been a lot of talk about this idea of urban living and how you use spaces for multiple purposes, almost like you just mentioned, and conversion from what was office spaces into more hospital environments. And the alternative accommodation factor as well, that it's not just about hotels anymore. So I guess it opens up more opportunity for creativity, surely.
No, it absolutely does. And one of the things that we're seeing is, you know, hospitality informs residential. Residential is informing workplace. You know, there's this blurring massively between what were traditional individual sort of typologies and the learnings that we're able to bring from all of those and inform, you know, this new notion of hybrid hospitality, we call it, I think creates some really exciting opportunities, both as designers, but also for guests and the communities within which these projects sit.
I guess there's no better time then to learn from other industries and see how they're actually evolving and introducing new factors and features to buildings.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always gravitated to hotels because I think of hotels as little mixed-use projects all in amongst themselves. There's a residential piece. There's an entertainment and leisure piece. There's a corporate piece. And that's just becoming enhanced in this new world that we see after COVID, where things all come together. And people want to have these experiences, but not necessarily moving from, you know, one building to another. They can have them all in the same place.
So, yeah, let's look at some of the trends that are really influencing the new developments and design itself. You know, as you say, your passion for hotels and looking at what's happening across the wider sector of property. I mean, I understand that guest expectations is really at the forefront there.
Yeah. You know, what guests increasingly want to have is it's not just a night in a bed. they, even if you're on a business trip, you want to have an authentic experience. You want to create some memories. So guests at all levels, but especially the younger generations of travelers now are really demanding authentic and memorable experiences. And that wants unique design, no cookie cutter design. They want special places. They want one of a kind activities. Those are the things that they want to have, and they want to be connected to the place that they're in. Not just the city. It's not just they want to be connected to London. They want to be connected to Shoreditch or to Mayfair. It has to be that granular in terms of that unique offer. So it's a real opportunity for in the design world to curate those experiences and really become part of that community.
Does that feel like you're a bit more of an artist today rather than just an architectural firm?
Well, I actually like to say that what we design are experiences, mm-hmm. not, and buildings just happen to house them. And sometimes it's the spaces between the buildings or outside the buildings that are just as important as inside the building. So, you know, I think your introduction talked about, you know, us as a cultural agency and inspiring experiences. That's the way we like to think. It's about designing experiences because that's what people remember and want to gravitate to.
Oh, absolutely. When you've been in a phenomenal building, you're never going to forget it. And it's one thing that's going to certainly change your perceptions of buildings and spaces in the future. And as we look at spaces, there was a great change of how we had to utilize spaces over the last couple of years, from social distancing to how we really embraced outdoor spaces, particularly in the UK, which was remarkable because we've always been, you know, forced indoors because of the weather, except obviously for those beautiful summer days. So how have you seen the changes in the use of space and the role of social distancing and contactless impacting the hospitality spaces?
Well, you know, there's sort of two sides to that coin. I mean, you know, on any new projects, I have not seen a brief from a hotel operator be any different really than what it was before. So in terms of, you know, area per seat in a restaurant or, you know, metrics for meeting space design, spas, there really is very little change. I think Ian Schrager even said at one point and early in the pandemic, he said, we'll be right back to where we were before the pandemic. And in some cases, that seems to be kind of true. At the same time, you know, as you said, there's a lot more being done with outdoor spaces and rooftops and terraces. And so instead of maybe packing 100 seats into an indoor environment, now you'll have 60 seats in an indoor space and you'll use a roof terrace or an outdoor environment to create that additional dining. And I still find it, you know, really interesting that as I walk around London, even when the weather's not great, the outdoor spaces are full. And the indoor spaces, people have kind of spread out a little bit. So I think there's a sense about from the pandemic that, hey, outdoor spaces can be really kind of cool. And I think it ties into you're more part of the community. When you're dining along the street, you're part of that scene and that environment. It's not just a hotel. It's part of that broader experience. And people, I think, realize they love that. And I think that'll stay.
Excellent. I mean, I certainly enjoy being outside. You say nothing better than the fresh air, although yeah, it is London. Now, when it comes to buildings and spaces and hospitality, it's not just about the experience for the business. It's also about generating that revenue. Yeah. How can you generate greater ROI and attract new audiences? And perhaps what's the role of F&B in the recovery and growth?
Well, I think F&B is everything, or almost everything today. You know, the notion of the kind of traditional hotel restaurant, no one really wants to go there. They want to have, it doesn't have to be luxury, it doesn't have to be expensive, but they want to have a unique experience, unique food, and, you know, just a you know, an offer that they can't get somewhere else. And it could be everything from visiting chefs and curating, you know, almost a pop-up restaurant within a restaurant, just to drive that differentiation. So you're always seeing something new there. you know, we're looking at lifestyle hotels generate 50% of their revenue from food and beverage. A typical hotel in the past used to maybe not make any money off of food and beverage. You know, they maybe drive 20% of the revenue and zero of the profit. It was all about the beds. And so I think there's a trend to wanting to have that unique dining experience at any price point, really. And, you know, and curating that in a way that connects to the place and the demographic, psychographic of the people that are around there.
We've seen hospitality businesses really have to sort of turn to different business units to bring that revenue in over the last few years and partner and collaborate in so many different unique ways and really think about what that value proposition is. And I guess having that flexibility in how they use that space just gives them many more options.
Yeah. You know, some hotels are outsourcing their food and beverage. I mean, literally bringing in two or three different chefs or different outlets and matching that up and creating that, you know, almost a food hall type of environment where you can try different things. And the hotel is just almost getting revenue from leasing the space and whatever support they get. So, you know, there's a different models that are being looked at. Ghost kitchens where you're actually, you know, sending food out into the community builds a bit of resilience in the business as well that wasn't there before. So there's lots of different models that people are looking at to drive enhanced revenue from the F&B, so they're not as reliant on just heads and beds as they were in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Just making sure that they've got their multiple income streams and mm-hmm. that they're stable and reliable. Now, I mean, technology, digitalization, what role is that playing within design and development of properties and builds? And how is it enabling you to do your job better?
Well, you know, there's a couple layers to it. I'll speak first to how it helps us do our job better as designers and architects. But then we have a lot of thoughts about how that is used in a way to enhance the experience. So I want to touch on that as well. From a pure us doing our job perspective, the 3D tools that we have and the ability to virtually model buildings, looking at how we can use computational design to enhance the performance of a building from a sustainability perspective. We can look at how we can site, design a facade, all these different things so that we can drive that notion of planet positive design, because that has a direct impact on not only the operation and performance of the hotel, but also its perception from a guest standpoint. Guests more and more are looking at, you know, the places they spend their money have to have a commitment to their beliefs about climate change and ESG and things like that. And we have tools that enable us to really demonstrate that, you know, early in the process so that we have confidence in the outcomes that we create. You know, we can also use things to actually, you know, let a client walk around a model room without having to build a model room initially. So you can speed up the process, you know, a little bit by using some of these 3D tools, you know, that architects and designers now have at their hands. From a standpoint of the hotel operation, I mean, you know, as I said before, everyone craves a real experience, and that includes digital natives. You know, yeah, they love technology; they're in their devices all the time, but they still want to have a real experience. So, I think the notion that technology can become pervasive, you know, robot room service and all that kind of stuff. I think that fits in some places, maybe Las Vegas, something like that. But probably doesn't really have the right place in luxury and lifestyle hospitality. And I see those as two areas where, you know, more and more luxury and lifestyle hotels are going to continue to perform well because of that notion of experiences. So how digital and technology is able to be used to, you know, to allow the hotel employee to spend more time with a guest, rather than like with their head in the computer trying to check somebody in, they can do it in two clicks and they can talk to the guests. They can understand them. How technology can enhance the ability to deliver a great experience is, I think, the magic place for tech within the hotel world.
Excellent. I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk about these 3D designs of virtual reality, the ability to be able to sort of share product developments, project developments virtually, which we obviously had to do over the last couple of years, the role of digital twins enabling people to actually visualize almost in real what the property will effectively look like. But from your perspective then, Todd, what are the three key innovations occurring in the market that you would say that people should look out for?
Well, look, I think the notion of this blurring of all these businesses together, nothing's viewed in isolation anymore. You want to be able to go to a hotel and you know, work there effectively, connect with a community, have a great time, and get a great night's rest. Those blurring of all these sectors, I think that's going to continue to stay, and hybrid hospitality is going to continue to evolve. And I think that's a great thing for guests. It's a great thing for communities. And I think that's an innovation that's going to continue to build and develop. I think the next thing is just the continued evolution of you know, the food and beverage and dining, and how that drives that connection and engagement with the local community, creates a sense of destination about a hotel for locals and visitors and transients, and that drives enhanced revenue and performance of the hotel. And then the last thing is really that seamless, often invisible technology, using data both to optimize the performance of an asset, but also to optimize the ability for the hotel the operator to deliver that amazing experience to the guest and customize and curate things. You and I could both go to the same hotel and we'd both want different experiences because we're different people. And the hotels that are able to pull that off and really relate one-to-one with each individual guest are going to be the hotels that are successful going forward.
Excellent. Todd, thank you very much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure, Ryan. I really enjoyed the conversation.
We're going to be discussing this more in the coming months. Stay tuned to Travel Market Life for more of these episodes and more discussions in the future. I'm your host, Ryan Haynes. Thanks for listening. Ciao for now.
For more, go to Travel Market Life. The Music Sensation by Zach Nelson is reproduced under license from Storyblocks. Travel Market Life is a Haynes Marcoms digital marketing agency production, serving the travel and technology industries.